channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, August the 22nd, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Nice to be back, Paul.
Cool. That was the news, read by Abby Smitten in the newsroom. And welcome back to the second half of the show. We've got some more great guests for you to talk to. Linda's decided to hang around and stay now.
She enjoyed herself
so much. She likes a bit of a punch-up, doesn't she? So she decided to stay and argue a bit more.
She's just waking up.
Is she? Is that what it is? Yeah.
Suddenly realised where
God
I
help
am.
Us.
Where am I? Radio show, you say.
Oh, God, there's Paul. Oh, no, there's Martin. I must be at the Business Bunker radio show.
Absolutely.
We've
had a tweet from a new listener, Mackenzie Legal. Mackenzie_Legal is their Twitter handle. And they say, good afternoon, Business Bunker. We're a new business dealing in debt recovery and landlord-tenant disputes. And we would love a shout-out on your radio show, please. Thank you. So do consider yourself shouted out. That's Mackenzie Legal. Mackenzie_Legal is their Twitter handle. Do give them a follow on Let's Tour.
You know how I like a little link into our listener tweets?
Yep.
So on Thursday last week, mm-hmm. I was invited to Eastwell Manor.
Were you?
By the lovely Alison Wallace, mm-hmm. who is in charge of all the kind of event marketing and that side of the business there. And Eastwell Manor was bought by the Champneys Resort or Spa Group.
Yeah, the spa part of Eastwell Manor was, not the hotel.
No, I think they've bought the whole lot.
Oh, have they?
Yeah,
the whole I heard lot. That they'd only bought the spa part.
No, they own the whole lot.
Okay.
So Alison showed me around last week, and I've got to say, they've pumped an awful lot of money in already, so that the spa looks fantastic. But the hotel as well, it needed a sort of an injection of I think, new ideas and kind of, money, basically, to kind of bring the hotel back up to scratch. So it's looking absolutely fabulous. And the reason I mention Eastwell Manor is because on the 15th of September, from 7:30 to 9, there's going to be a big breakfast there with Damien Green, who was the Secretary of State and Minister for the Cabinet. So, fantastic networking opportunity. It's been organised by Kent and Victor Chamber. There's going to be a full English, and that's bound to be brilliant. All within the stunning grounds of Eastwell Manor. 15th of September, 7:30 till 9. So, great opportunity to get along and ask a local MP about local issues in the community.
I'm going along to that.
Are you?
I'm up for a great debate with Mr. Damien Green, yes. Mm.
And if you have the chance and the time, why not indulge in a spa day while you're there? From absolutely,
go for it. Yeah, absolutely. So, you're going to go for that, Linda?
No.
Bit of a facial and then a set to with Mr.
Need,
Green.
I don't need that.
No, you don't. That's quite true. That's quite true.
And I would like to welcome Eastwell Manor to the Supply My Business community.
Ah, okay.
Because they've just signed up with us as well.
I love Eastwell Manor. I used to be a member of the Spa and Health Club.
Beautiful,
there.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a fantastic place.
Does that mean discounts?
Quite possibly. Watch this space.
It's a lovely place. It really is
September,
a lovely place. Yeah.
Networking with Damien Green, kentinvictorchamber.co.uk.
Well, we're talking about Ashford, because Mr. Green is the Ashford MP. The Ashford Volunteer Centre, Ashford VC on the Twitter, have been in touch. And they say, good afternoon, Business Bunker. We are Ashford Volunteer Centre. We'd love a shout out, please. And to say hello to our wonderful volunteers who make such a big difference to everything we do. So do give them a follow. That's the Ashford Volunteer Centre, Ashford VC on Le Twitter.
Now, I don't know if you need to own a Vauxhall for this particular event or if it's sponsored by Vauxhall, but the Vauxhall Art Car Boot Fair takes place on Saturday the 2nd of September.
No, I think it's just sponsored by Vauxhall.
It's sponsored by Vauxhall.
So.
Okay, so it's not about bringing Vauxhall memorabilia.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's arty cars of any kind.
Oh, so it is a car art as opposed to art that you kind of fit in the boot of your car.
Well, you're reading the email, not me, so
it's not clear.
I'm just guessing.
It's not clear. All it says is the Art Car Boot Fair. It's happening on Saturday the 2nd of September. If you're into your art and perhaps you have a piece of an old Vauxhall that you'd like to show off, or you may even have a Van Gogh that you can fit in the boot of your car, pop along and take part. Its entry is £5, and it sounds like a lovely way to spend Saturday.
Fantastic. Thank you. I've had a tweet from Mark Goldfinch of Drive Your Mark is his Twitter handle. His company's Drive Your Marketing, and they have a marketing dashboard. and a marketing MOT system that they put in place to help you with your marketing. So do give Mark a follow on the Twitter. Drive Your Mark is his Twitter handle. And I've also had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare Limited. Telcare are the telecommunications systems providers based over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester. Martin.
Yeah. Women in Business Lunch at Brands Hatch Place on the 21st of September. You can tell holiday is over once you get into September, can't you?
Well, it all happens in September.
A sort of a dearth of activity in August. Yes, yeah, and then all of a sudden, everybody wants to do something September. And all these events are going to clash with each other because they're all happening in September. Women in Business Lunch at Brands Hatch Place, 21st of September. Speakers at that event are Ali Harold and our very own Bird on a Bike. Guaranteed that you will not only learn things, but also have fun on the day as well. God forbid. £29.50 plus VAT includes two course lunch and two fantastic speakers. Paul, you'll be managing to get your way in there, will you, somehow?
Well,
although it's a women in business lunch, you'll kind of find a back door, will you?
Do you know, my invites to women business events seem to have dried up. I have no idea why.
I wonder what that could be.
I do think we should open the doors a little wider and invite men in.
Is that because you're off the market at the moment? Is that anything to do with it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just remarking on the fact that I used to go to quite a few women in business events, and now I don't.
Right. Okay.
I've got something to tell you here. This is quite a long email, and I said I wasn't doing long emails, but this is worth it because this is just neat and fantastic. And again, it's from my mate Alan Noak, but in a different capacity this time. Alan is the Assistant County Commissioner, Global Projects for Kent Scouts. And at Kent Scouts, they're putting together an exciting expedition for 40 members. They are going to charter and crew a sailing vessel to the Antarctic.
Wow.
Wow. They're not messing about. Mm. It's going to happen in 2021 on the 100th anniversary of the Kent Scouts. And they hope to create an experience for 30 network scouts and 10 adult leaders. And they've named it the Request Expedition. As well as doing our own local fundraising, we're contacting organisations and companies to try and raise financial sponsorship between 2017 and 2018. They need to raise more than £300,000, okay, in total. You can help make this incredible dream and life-changing experience a reality. And here are some of the ways that you can help. You can purchase prestigious, let me tell you that again, prestigious Shackleton the Penguin badges. And you can buy them on ebay.co.uk/ITM26313935027. I hope you wrote that down. I suggest you go into eBay and search Shackleton the Penguin badges. So you can buy a Shackleton the Penguin badge. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter and share and retweet everything that goes out. You can sell a batch of badges for them. Just contact us and we'll send you 5, 10 or 25 badges to sell. You can become a Penguin supporter and there's Penguin perks. You see what they're doing here? There's Penguin perks and there's sponsorship levels. Every £20 we raise takes us 1 kilometre closer to reaching Antarctica. The more you sponsor, the more Penguin perks you receive. Okay. The expedition domain name is request2021.org.uk. The expedition Twitter name is request2021. The expedition email is info@request2021.org.uk. And the expedition hashtag is #request2021.
I think we got that point.
They've thought about it all, haven't they? They've really nailed this. Please make any donation checks payable to Kent County Scout Council and post to Request 2021 Expedition, Kent Scouts County Office, Lower Grange Farm, Grange Lane, Sadling in Maidstone. And there's all kinds of places you can donate, and they give me their bank account details. So if anybody wants it, just get hold of me. It's a registered charity. The easiest way to donate is to UK Virgin Giving, virginmoneygiving.com. Request 2021. Follow it.
What a great idea. Yeah.
Brilliant. Mm. There's a little bit of a story behind this as well. A couple of years ago, we were doing Create, which is a networking event I run at Fruitworks, but in the old Fruitworks before we expanded. So it's in the small bit upstairs. It was a wet Thursday night in November. It was a horrible evening, and still 20 people turned up to the event, which was amazing considering it was such a horrible night. And Alan was one of the speakers. And Alan was talking about his wish list at the end of his talk. And he said one of the things he's always wanted to do was to visit Antarctica. Mm. And a bloke sat right in the front row of the networking meeting said, well, that's handy. My brother's the Antarctic station director.
Oh, that's handy.
And gave him all of his contact details. Mm. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow. And in a networking event in Canterbury, and people say, networking, really? Why do I go?
Business happens when the stars align.
Oh, don't come, that old nonsense.
That was quite an expedition, that Shackleton expedition, wasn't it? Because weren't they marooned in the ice for 6 months or something?
They were,
they time
indeed.
It wrong, and they were just kind of stuck there.
Yeah.
Which is incredible, a sort of feat of, human endurance.
Did you see, funnily enough, last week, a scientific expedition there dug up a fruitcake that had been left by the Shackleton expedition, and it was still edible. Mm.
They defrosted it.
Yeah, they defrosted it, and it was still edible. Was that 110 years later?
That's more than can be said for the mozzarella and tomato salad I was provided by British Airways last night, which was still frozen solid.
Oh, was it? It was still in Antarctica.
Yes.
Yeah.
They used to do a mean curry in business class, though. I love that curry. Right, I was with the lovely people at Invicta Linux last week. You remember Jane and Kieran?
Jane Checkerforty, yeah, I do. Yeah.
They've been on the show. In fact, we need to get them back on. Mm. And they were talking to me all about a VoIP telephony and the advantages of having a VoIP system.
VoIP.
Do you use VoIP?
Voice over IP. We've got a cloud phone.
Right, and what about at Fruitworks?
We don't use phones. We use mobiles.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's quite interesting because Jane and Kieran had their mobile with them, but it was as if they were still in the office.
Yeah, it's the same with the cloud phone we have here.
Exactly.
You can transfer the number onto your mobile. You can unplug the phone and take it home, plug it in at home, and you'll get your calls here.
So you can literally work anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
And nobody knows that you're actually out on the road or you're having a coffee or whatever it is. So. Yeah. They're offering a free VoIP telephony consultation at the moment. So if you have a more kind of traditional fixed line telephone system with a clunky old phone, forget that. Those days are over. You need to speak to Invicta Linux. So you can get in touch with Invicta Linux at their website, .co.uk, invictalinux.co.uk, or you can find details of this VoIP telephony consultation on the Supply My Business website.
I have to say, the cloud phone we've got here is absolutely brilliant, and the quality of the line is better than the fixed line because we play it through the desk here when we have people ring in or we have phone interviews. I was a bit unsure how it would be. The line quality is superb. It really is superb.
What makes me laugh is the kind of the whole infrastructure now around Openreach and when you've got resellers like Sky. So I'm a Sky customer, for example. Mm. I had a problem with my phone line recently where it was just pure crackle. So, I mean, it was absolutely useless to me for over a month. I rang Sky. They rang Openreach. Openreach fed them a story about how the problem must be inside my house.
Don't talk to me about BT. Just don't talk to me about BT.
I mean, eventually the BT man came round, and it's not their fault because actually the engineers are brilliant at what they do. And he said to me, well, it's quite simple. He said, the line that you're connected to, the green box at the end of the road, is corroded. Mm. He said, we installed a replacement years ago, but we haven't swapped anybody over to it. We don't do it until their phone breaks down.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all it was. So he just basically took me out of one bit of pipe and put me through another bit of pipe, and it was fixed.
Yeah, typical BT.
But that was hours of phone calls.
It was typical.
Later.
They are the worst company on the planet. I'm sorry. They are just the worst company on the planet.
Effort.
They really are appalling.
Yeah. So the quicker they kind of split Openreach away from... Mm.
They could do away with the whole shooting match, as far as I'm concerned. And don't get me started on what they've done to my mum's broadband this morning.
VoIP telephony is the answer.
That's the way to go. We've got loads of tweets still coming in. We've got another fabulous guest that we're going to talk to in exactly 1 minute. I had a tweet from Neil at the Fraud Management Resource Centre. Business Bunker shout out, please, for Fraud Management Resource Centre, helping organisations fight fraud. Show's going well. Enjoying listening. Thank you very much, Neil. You can follow them on the Twitter, FMRC_inquiry is their Twitter handle, FMRC_inquiry.
Quick shout out for Terry Botfield, actually.
Hello, Terry. Are we doing these Romney Marsh things soon?
Yes. Yeah.
Hello, Terry.
I'm seeing Terry soon. Brilliant. So Terry has got a new networking group that he's starting up on the Marsh, which is very exciting. get in touch with Terry at botfield.net. So it's Terry at botfield.net if you're interested in networking on the Marsh. I think that launches in September.
It does.
I think there's also a Facebook group if you're interested as well. So keep a lookout for that.
I'm going along to that.
I am.
Another new listener, the Seahorse. And on Twitter, they're the Seahorse number 7, Seahorse 7. And they say, hello, Business Bunker. We're celebrating our first month selling Breton coastal clothing from our boutique on Herne Bay Pier. Mm. We'd love a shout out, please. Merci. Do you see what they did there?
Merci. I love Herne Bay
Pier. Mange too.
There's so much going on down there at the moment. Little Pep's down there with
Sherry's down there, yeah.
Daniel Wilde's jewellery.
Yeah, Chris Searle's down there.
Red Arrows last weekend. It's all happening in
Herne Bay. Sweet Soul.
Sweet Souls down there, yeah, absolutely. So give them a follow on the Twitter, Breton Clothing on Herne Bay Pier. The Seahorse, number 7, is their Twitter handle.
Grow Kent's coming up.
Yep.
End of November.
This is
a kind of a come along and learn conference as opposed to a business exhibition. So a completely different feel. And I think they launched the first one last year, didn't they?
Yep.
They did, yeah.
But coinciding with that, they are running a business awards evening as well. So if you are a business based in the borough of Ashford and you would like to be considered for the Grow Kent Ashford Business Awards, the awards dinner takes place on November the 30th, which I think is actually the same day as the Growth Accelerator Conference, isn't it? It's in the evening. Details of how to enter, businessawardskent.co.uk. And I know the other awards that they've run around Maidstone and Canterbury Poor, you've been involved with those. They've been incredibly popular.
All of them have been popular, very popular.
And well events. Attended. And a lovely gala dinner as well. So celebrate your business success. Enter your business for the Ashford Business Awards. Businessawardskent.co.uk.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from the Innovation Tribe. Innovation Adam is their Twitter handle. And they say, could we have a shout-out, please? Well, you certainly can, and I'll tell you what the Innovation Tribe do. They do innovations. They tend to specialise in the charity and not-for-profit sector and social enterprises, helping them to innovate and think up new ways of fundraising, making profits, making products, making services. Do give them a follow. They're really fascinating people, Adam and Joe, the Innovation Tribe, Innovation Adam, on their Twitter.
I heard you having a bit of a moan about LinkedIn last week.
Oh, LinkedIn drives me nuts.
The kind of the number of glitches that are in it.
Oh, it's bug-ridden.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bug-ridden.
Well, I apart from that, though, I personally think it's quite a powerful tool if you're looking
to
research, you know, your market and actually connect with people. I mean, I've been going through a massive exercise personally on that front recently. And, you know, I've come up with a list of probably 50 or so key contacts and key organisations that I need to be talking to, purely through researching all of that on LinkedIn. So, effectively, that has now become my, my CRM tool in many respects.
I do something similar for new business owners.
Yeah. What is a little bit annoying is when you reach your credit limit and they try and upgrade you to premium. That is frustrating. I came across that the other day. But the reason I mention that is because there is a LinkedIn for Business training session happening again in September.
Jay Pluck, that is, isn't it?
As everything is in September.
I wanted to go to that and it clashes with everything else, sadly.
It's on Thursday the 14th of September. It's 9:30 to 12:30. It's at the Churchill Square Business Centre in Kings Hill, West Malling. And to book onto that, it's workshopkent.co.uk. So if you don't perhaps understand the value that LinkedIn could bring to your business at the moment and you'd like to learn more, I would certainly be a big advocate for LinkedIn. It certainly helped me recently. Workshopkent.co.uk.
Cool.
I think the problem with LinkedIn is too many people are sort of starting to use it almost like a personal Facebook page rather than keeping it as business. Yeah, it does me too.
It drives me nuts. Mm. If you want to do Facebook posts, do them on Facebook.
Yeah.
Don't do them on LinkedIn. Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm actually thinking of going to that workshop just because I'm sure that a lot of my frustration with LinkedIn is because they change it every 3 weeks as well. Since Microsoft owned it, it's just typical Microsoft product now. They just change it for the sake of changing it.
What I like about it, and the reason I'm using it at the moment, is through an individual's profile on LinkedIn, I could probably get their email address.
Mm.
But if I was to send them a cold email...
Mm.
the chances of it being opened and read, I think, would be pretty remote.
Yeah.
What LinkedIn has enabled me to do is connect with the people I really want to be talking to.
But in the first instance. But you've got to be careful about that, because there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than getting a connection request, accepting it, and then getting a spam email that says, "When can I come and see you?" Da-da-da. I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that. Obviously it's not a sales message in the first instance.
Yeah, exactly.
But hopefully, if somebody does connect with you, you know, they understand the value in connecting with you.
Well, they should do, and they should do some basic research, because there's no excuse. I'm on a rant now. There's no excuse for it. Yeah, there's no excuse for it, that because you're on LinkedIn, that's how you found me. So read my profile first. The amount of people that look at my profile go, "Jobs in Kent, you must be a recruitment agency," and then send me recruitment stuff. And I go, "Why have you sent me this?"
Yeah.
"Oh, because we can help you." "No, you can't, because you don't even know what I do, because you didn't even have the gumption to read my profile first."
Initiative.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I was going to use a different word, and then I remembered I was on the radio. Anyway, enough of that. I want to talk to our next guest.
Yep.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Shall I introduce him, or are
Please
you?
Do. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to introduce him. It's Mr. Lee Bennett of EJJB Consulting. Lee.
Afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is your first time in the studio here with us.
It is, yeah.
And it's a real pleasure to welcome you to the studio, Lee. Why don't you kick off by telling the listener, we only have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that a bit about you and a bit about what your business does.
Okay. I'm an IT consultant. Been working in IT for nearly 20 years now.
He doesn't look old enough, does he?
No,
he doesn't, does he? He really actually doesn't.
He's not a high mileage model, is he?
No, he's not. He's certainly not a green Lexus style, that's for sure. Yeah. Sorry, Lee, go on.
That's all right. I've been working in IT for 20 years. A couple of years ago, decided I had enough being employed, expecting me to work all the hours under the sun and night. And decided to go out by myself and work for myself. So so that's kind of what I do now.
Okay.
I support small businesses with their IT environments, whether that's something basic from desktop support or all the way through to sort of massive corporate networks.
Okay. So that's let's explore some of the things that you provide support for.
Yep.
Do you I mean, presumably, because I saw your wry smile when I gave Microsoft the slagging. So presumably, you're doing PC support.
Yeah. Generally, supply PC support as rather than Mac support.
Right.
I can help with Macs.
Right.
But obviously my pay grade only goes so far, and then I've got other people that I can pass that over to.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay, so you're dealing with PC, desktop, and networks, you say?
Yeah, desktop, servers, networks. A lot of my speciality is with networks.
Hmm.
Obviously, you was talking about voice over IP a little while ago. I get involved a lot with voice over IP systems where you've got a data network and phone systems working in conjunction.
Yep.
And they have a lot of problems with their networks, so I get involved in all that sort of stuff.
This won't mean anything to you, because even with 20 years' experience, I can beat you hands down with this. And I'm going to tell you a story from 40 years ago when I was working in IT. Okay.
Yep.
I was head of electronic banking at Citibank, and we had a sales pitch from an IBM team that came in to demonstrate a new PABX they'd got. And it was one of the first generation of new PABXs that allows you to put data through the telephone switchboard. And they bought this software module in to demonstrate. And it was the best bit of salesmanship I've ever seen in my life. They started to try and demonstrate it, and the whole demonstration completely collapsed. The technology just failed to work. The guy wasn't remotely phased. He just got a flip chart out and drew pictures of what it would do if it was working. And he just went, "So then you put your data through here and it comes out this side." And we all just sat there nodding and going, "Yeah, oh yeah, no, that looks good, yeah." And he did an entire hour's presentation by drawing pictures of something that didn't work to show us how it worked. It was brilliant. It was so bad, it was good.
Was Sorry. That before PowerPoint, was it? Because that doesn't work either.
It was before PCs.
Before PCs.
I told you it was a long time ago.
That was a long time.
PC wasn't invented until 1981. This was in 1979. Anyway, Yeah, he's gonna. I wasn't born then.
Just.
Can I throw a curveball at Lee? How many patches has Windows 10 had now, Lee? I mean, is it in the hundreds? Is it in the thousands?
Yeah, well, they've released quite a number of patches for it now. So, but then it was always going to be like that, especially when they released it as a free upgrade to Windows 7, Windows 8, and Vista users. You know,
so. But how does the world's largest software company get away with something like that? Releasing a product into the marketplace that clearly isn't fit for purpose.
Well, that's the trouble with the whole software industry. I mean, Apple do it too. I mean, it's just not quite as bad.
Apparently, Lee's mic is quiet. We've just had a message from Gemma. Thanks, Gemma.
Okay. If you point it up a bit, and I'll turn it up a little bit anyway.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
The scary thing is when I started my career in IT, I was actually working on a Microsoft support desk. And we actually had someone phone in one day saying, my computer's not working. And he turned around and he said, when I press all of these keys together, Word crashes. And we sort of said, well, why would you want to press all of them keys together? Yeah. So, you know, but no one tests a product like an end user tests a product.
Right.
Simple as that, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing all their product testing for them, paying for the privilege.
One of the problems with operating, I'm getting geeky now. One of the problems with operating system design, though, is that you never design it from scratch. So you're always patching it. You know, if you look at Windows, it's still underlying the bottom level structure is still DOS. There is still DOS underlying it, and it's iOS in Mac. Most people don't know this. iOS in Mac. Or any of your OS on the desktop are just versions of Unix.
Yeah.
You know, so their operating systems, they're both based on operating systems that are over 40 years old. Mm-hmm. That's why they patch it, because they don't go back and start from scratch. They just change it, add to it, patch it, put things in it, add things to it, and then it falls over and they patch it again. It's the same.
So tell me about open source software, Lee, because I know Jane at Invicta is a big kind of fan of open source software, because you don't have to use Microsoft Office, for example. There are open source products
Really available. Ubuntu and...
there's a lot of open source products.
Why isn't that kind of taking off? Why aren't users kind of...
Generally, the GUI interfaces with open source isn't as good as Mac or Windows, because obviously it is open source and they don't invest so much time or money into putting in the graphical user interfaces that we all like and
so it doesn't look pretty.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't look pretty. Mm. But they can be far more powerful than, I mean, I actually use an Ubuntu laptop in order for restoring data from failed hard drives. It's actually easier to restore data using an Ubuntu computer than it is via a Windows or a Mac. Mm. Because
what's it called? What type of computer do you use?
It's a standard computer. It's a standard laptop.
But you call it Ubuntu.
But the operating system is an open source operating system, which is Ubuntu, and it's a Linux based operating system.
So it's Linux based.
I was going to say I used a Red Hat Linux box when they first came out a few years ago.
That's a few.
yeah. Thanks.
Do you say Linux or Linux?
Linux.
I say Linux.
And the interesting thing is, I loaded it on a 386 machine, and that won't mean anything to you, but a 386 chip was the third generation of Microsoft chips, 8080.
Sadly, it means something to me.
Whereas
Paul.
the first chipset was an 8080, then 286, and then 386. And even when I loaded it on, the 386 PC that I loaded it on was years old, and it was faster than a modern PC running at that point XP. It was much faster because the operating system stripped down. But to answer your question, Martin, the reason that people don't use it is because it's arcane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody knows Windows and knows a little bit about Windows, but things like Ubuntu or Linux or any of those kind of things are geeky type, they're seen as geeky stuff.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, people don't want to go down the route of using them because of the fact that they are, it's more for a geek, if you were.
Yeah. I was consulting in South Africa in 2001, actually. That is, it's only 16 years.
Couple of months ago, that is.
IT technology is, but Linux was really big down there at that time. That's only 20 years ago.
Can we ask Lee about what he's doing specifically in the small business space? Because I think Lee has... Lee has developed, I think, a package of support that actually I haven't seen anybody doing up until now.
Okay.
And I think that's quite interesting because I think a lot of larger IT support providers who are interested in kind of on a revenue per machine kind of model don't really service the needs of kind of small and micro businesses. But Lee, you've developed a package of support.
Yeah, I mean, I put together a small business package recently where from sort of £20 plus VAT a month, we can provide email support, desktop, remote desktop support for clients. So, you know, obviously anytime that you guys have problems, we can log in, have a look, see what's going on and try and rectify any issues. And it also includes the antivirus, which again we monitor, and as part of that we can also provide the Office 365 platform as well, so which obviously gives you the option of having a cloud storage as well, so you can hold all your files not only on your laptop but also stored away in the cloud so that they're nice and safe. So
I mean, now, as a potential client sitting right next door to Lee, because I've been looking at this over the last couple of months, you say email support. Am I allowed to interview here? What sort of things would go wrong with email that people would need support?
I've got a live question. We're going to test him now. We've got a live test. I've got a problem here, Lee.
He hasn't answered my
question. No, I'll wait for it. I need this answer because I've got to go and fix it in a minute. Yeah. I just set up an email account for my mum and I registered all of her banking, all the email address, all fine. And it's a company, we use a web-based email called GMX, okay?
Yep.
It's all been working. It's been working fine. We've just put BT broadband in.
Yep.
Since we've had BT broadband in, she can't send emails anymore. She can receive them, but she can't send them. It says server, not allowed by server. Does that mean that they've blocked my ISP?
It could be that you've got something like parental controls on the broadband line.
Right.
So it could be something like switching off the controls, them
yep.
parental
it's meant
controls.
Meant to be the other way around, Paul. She's meant to control you, not you controlling her.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can. It will probably allow you to be able to get out and do
nice
what
one.
You want to do.
Nice
if you can't, it could be something like you change the DNS settings, which generally we wouldn't advise to do, but. Mm-hmm. BT can be a bit fickle, as I've had experience of. In
they could be worse than fickle sometimes. Yeah, thank you for that. No, that's good.
Sorry,
that's good
advice. Good luck with resolving that.
So that sort of answers what I'm asking.
Sorry.
Because so that would be an example of an email problem.
Yeah.
So is it normally settings? People just, you know, get it onto their computers
often,
and don't understand the settings that need to be
set. Yeah, quite often it can be settings. So a lot of the email providers change their settings. Some of them on quite a regular basis. Yahoo have done it quite a lot recently where they've changed various different providers and therefore they've had to change things, certainly where they've had issues where they've been hacked, etc.
And it's different across platforms. I mean, for example, when I was setting up my email account on my laptop through Outlook, it was fine. When I tried to do it on my mobile phone, exactly the same information, exactly the same settings, it won't go through for some reason.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to get it to work on my mobile phone, my email. And you think, well, I really don't know what to do.
I've got an idea.
We'll have a chat afterwards.
Why don't you employ Lee to do it for you, Tightwood?
20 quid a month, Martin. You can't argue
Come
that.
On, Martin. It's only 20 quid.
I'm
What's the matter with you?
I'm going to put my hand in my pocket and do that. But the thing is, you know, you think you can do it yourself, but you can't. That's what you've got to realise.
Well, you see, this just goes to prove that despite what people think that I wing this show, I don't wing this show. The whole thing is produced to within an inch of its life, and it all ties together neatly because this comes back down to Linda's productivity issues, doesn't it? And what you've just said is exactly that.
Yes.
It's you know, you think you can fix it yourself, and by the time you've wasted 3 days...
Oh, I've spent hours trying to do this.
Yeah,
hours.
Trying to fix it. You could have spent £20 and got an expert like Lee to come and do it in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah? And so that, right. Linda, is productivity.
It is. And it's also a dilemma that a lot of small, the micro business owners suffer, because they're having to wear all the hats of the different functions that are needed in a business. Mm. I mean, I'm my own worst enemy, you know, and IT functionality is one of the things that I'm looking to outsource or get somebody to be supporting me in. But it's not just, you know, IT. It's like, who are you sitting there doing your own marketing, your social media marketing, which could be taking you hours, where you could be paying somebody else to do it, and they'll probably do it a lot quicker because they are the expert in that sort of arena, isn't it? But yeah, productivity is getting things working right.
But for 20 quid a month, first place. Lee is on the end of a phone 24/7. Able to kind of dial into your machine.
Is that 24/7, Lee?
Unfortunately, most of the time it is. Lee, yeah, I do Lee a lot of work for small business hotels, and hotels are 24/7.
You're on call all the time, aren't you? I am, that's the reality of IT.
So, we need to be finding you some associates that you can bring in to be doing sort of 8 hours a day each.
Yeah. Oh, here she goes. Look, a bit of mentoring going on here as well. Yeah.
What I like about, you know, people like Ben and Lee, though, is the fact that they're not viewing each other as, you know, Ben Leach from BLIT.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not viewing each other as competitors.
It's collaboration.
Well, and Lee and Ben did exactly that recently. Ben went off on holiday for 10 days to Tenerife, and Lee managed his business for him.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is, because when it comes down to it, it's the clients that matter. They don't care if Ben's on holiday or if Lee's on holiday. If I can't send my emails, my productivity is down the toilet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, I need someone to come and fix it. And what I'm really loving about what Lee's doing is this is affordable. Yeah. Without any shadow of a doubt, it's affordable stuff. Because one of the problems with micro businesses and solo entrepreneurs, they don't have a huge amount of money. They sit there and they go, oh, I can't afford this, and I can't afford that, and I can't afford this. It's a false economy. Mm. It is truly a false economy. If you think about it, if you don't know about IT, why not get someone that does to fix it for you while you focus on getting another customer to pay you so that you can pay part of the money to him for fixing your problem?
Or have the peace of mind that you never, ever have to worry about it ever again.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's exactly how I described it on page 19 of my book, Concrete Barriers to Business Growth.
This show is cooking on gas today, is it not? Yeah. We knew that it was on page 19. We
Knowledge.
Really did.
You can only wear so many hats.
Yeah. So Lee, you just made reference to the fact that you're doing quite a lot of work with hotels.
Yeah.
Have you seen a pattern? How long has the business been going again?
Nearly 2 years now.
2 years. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's cool. Because the first year's the hardest, as we all know. And then in the second year, you start to grow and get there, which is brilliant.
That's page 4.
I'm glad you stayed, Linda. So, you could have read the whole book to us, actually.
But I'm going to gift one to Lee. Have a book.
Thank you.
But we'll get you to year five.
Are you seeing a pattern in the types of businesses that are engaging you?
Yes and no. As I say, my background for the last sort of 10 years prior to me starting my business was that I was in hotels.
Right. Okay.
So from that, obviously I had a lot of contacts and therefore was able to sort of sidestep into the hotel arena.
Yeah, and why not?
But one of the things that seems to be sort of, I seem to be working on a lot at the moment, which is clients that seem to have low broadband speeds. So these clients that are in the middle of nowhere don't get very good broadband speeds and need a higher speed broadband. The things that we generally do for them are we can go in, review what they've got, review if we can just get it upped on the current one line. If not, then we possibly look at putting in a second or possibly a third line, and then having the three lines work in conjunction and bonded together. So that's something that I heavily work with at the moment.
My home broadband is a pathetic. Absolutely.
Are you bonded,
pathetic,
Martin?
So I'm not at the moment, but I think I need to be.
Yeah. About 9 months ago now, I installed VFast, Wi-Fi WiMAX system, which is pretty good.
Shall we come back in 5 minutes when they've finished this sort of sex talk stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's shameful, isn't it? The fact that, you know, we live in a world of technology and, you know, the infrastructure just hasn't kept pace with it.
And who do we blame for that?
You know, and
ET.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not just that. I mean, it's kind of symptomatic across the board, isn't it? We haven't got a road infrastructure that we need. We haven't got a rail network.
And we keep wasting billions on the wrong things. Yeah. You know, we're building a high-speed railway that nobody's going to use when it's finished, when we should be putting the 26, 80 billion, 150 billion, whatever it's going to cost, into our road and, more importantly, our technology infrastructure. Mm. I can get a better internet connection in the middle of the bush in Uganda than I can in southeast England, and that is ridiculous.
I mean, you and I both work out of Canterbury a lot. Mm. There is no internet connection in Canterbury. There is no wireless network in Canterbury. There is no 4G network in Canterbury. No. There's nothing.
No, it's appalling. Yeah.
That's our next campaign, then. You should come to the Big Breakfast with Damien Green.
Okay.
I'll talk for you.
Yeah,
don't
thank
worry.
You. Yeah.
The issues with network with the broadband connections is that BT have obviously installed all of this cabling. They've put out this new super fast fibre to the cabinet.
To the cabinet. Stuff, they've done fibre to the cabinet, and then they give up.
But the issue is if you put a heat gun on any of these little green cabinets that have got fibre in them now, they're all running hot because the equipment in there isn't able to keep up with the amount of data that's running through it.
Mm.
So all of these little green cabinets around the country,
so if you go up and you put your hand on it, you can feel that it's hot.
Yeah.
And then you've got my scenario where I wasn't even connected to the green cabinet properly. Yeah. I was connected on a wire that was installed in 1930.
And this is why Paul gets better internet in Uganda, because nobody's actually using the internet connections out there on our.
Well, not only that, it's actually, as Martin said as well, and I do have some sympathy with BT over this, but not a lot, because it's still their fault. But basically, we've got the world's oldest telecommunications infrastructure, because we were the first country on the planet to have a telecoms infrastructure.
Yeah, so, cable whereas and wireless.
But if you go to third world countries, we're not even back in the late 70s and early 80s when we were building our first electronic banking networks at Citibank, and we were doing them in South America. Of course, if you go, as you know perfectly well, if you go to Chile or Argentina or Bolivia or any of those places, the topography of the country does not allow you to bury cables. So the first thing they went for is they didn't bother with cables at all. They went straight to satellites and microwave.
I was using internet banking in Chile in 1993.
Exactly.
And you couldn't even get it in England.
And you know, I'm a wonk for stats. Mm. You know, 48% of all financial transactions in Africa go through an app called M-Pesa. So, you know, the whole of East Africa, Kenya, Ethiopia, places like that, all of their financial transactions are done via a mobile phone app. Mm. Do you know?
We've got listeners, by the way.
Yeah.
We've got Gemma Fairclough Haynes saying, Lee from EJJB is great, always helps me get my presentation working at networking groups. We've got Stephen Connor, who specialises in wholesale
utilities. Yep.
I have stopped using Microsoft products. They are pony and trap.
Thank you for that, Stephen.
That's Cockney rhyming slang, by the way.
Yeah.
And coming for as a Mac user, I totally sympathise.
So, yeah.
So we're kind of fast running out of time. We're getting towards the end of the show. So I want to find out. I'm loving what Lee's doing with this packaged service.
Yep.
And as Martin said, it's pretty unique, isn't it? I've not come across anything like that. So how's it going?
Yeah, it's going relatively well. I mean, I put it together probably about 6 months ago, and it's sort of since then. It's just trying
more
to get
recently than that, I think, wasn't it? I mean, it was.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, he was probably planning it before he launched it. It's not like you just think about it and start it.
Yeah, myself and Martin sat and had a discussion, and on the back of that conversation, I sat and put this together. And we're starting to get sort of traction on it.
You need to get the message out there. And I mean, for me, Paul, you know, the whole point of marketing is to make it easy for me to buy what you're selling.
Yeah.
And if you're always talking in general terms about IT support and, you know, whatever else, then, you know, actually it doesn't get to the crux of my problem.
No.
So the more specific you can be in terms of your offering and your solution, the more chance that it's going to resonate with me. And I think that, you know, IT support and that peace of mind from 20 quid a month, knowing that if I can't actually fire up my laptop one day or my operating system's corrupt or whatever it is, someone can dial in remotely and actually help me sort out the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I've been researching that just the last 6 to 8 weeks before I went away, specifically because I'm recognising like this happens, that happens. I need to have some cloud-based work, and that is the first package that I've heard about that is brilliant. So sort of tightly.
So as with all things new and kind of, you know, marketing led, it takes time for the message to get out there and for people to kind of understand it and consider it. So
absolutely,
good on you.
So if people want to find out more, how can they do that?
Get in touch with myself, Lee Bennett, at lb@ejjb.co.uk. I haven't put the details on my website, which I do need to do, and I'll probably be doing it this afternoon or this evening. So,
On the Twitter?
I am on Twitter, yeah, so I'll be posting it after the show on there as well. So.
And your Twitter handle is at ejjb consulting.
LTD, yeah.
LTD. EJJB Consulting, LDD. LTD. Lee, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you.
Pleasure to talk to you. We wish you continued success with your fabulous business and keep on doing what you're doing because it really is needed, as we've all decided. Yeah. And we'll even get him to shell out some money on it as well. Yeah. Cool. We're almost at the end of the show. I need to tell you about this. It's a book, and it's a book called Timber, and it's a book for children, and it's by Angela Brigginshaw. Now, we've talked about Angela before. Angela is partially deaf, and she's partially deaf because when she was little, she was badly beaten by her stepfather. But Angela Bridgeport had a wonderful, fulfilling partnership with her guide dog, Timber.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paul. Happy birthday.
Thank you, ladies. I need to tell you who's here. We've got the fabulous Bird, the lovely Amanda, and the gorgeous Lucy have just come in with what looks like a cake, but is in fact bread, I think, and some cheese. Oh, thank you, ladies. That's brilliant. Hold on. What are you on? Red one.
Go on. So we've decided to surprise you at the end of your show to wish you a very happy birthday. We've got a feta and olive loaf for you.
Fantastic.
And cheese. And, we all came to wish happy birthday. We've got presents and something for you as well.
Oh, lovely. You're special. Thank you very much. You did that. And that was a big surprise.
We are special. Yeah.
Can we see you blow the candle out so I can take a picture?
What, from here?
No, get up and do it.
Okay.
Well done.
I spat on it.
You did
Sorry.
Spat on it, so you can eat the whole thing yourself.
Thank you.
Are we invited as well? Can we have a piece, by the way? Oh, lovely.
Yeah. We're going to let you finish your show, but we're going to hang around.
Okay, let me just finish reading this this email out because it's important. It's from Angela Brigginshaw, and she had a wonderful, fulfilling partnership with her guide dog, Timber. Having already written the story of his life, she knew Timber still had more to give. So Angela's latest book, Timber is for Children. The book describes how Timber trained to become a guide dog, learned how to behave, share, cross the road safely, eat healthily, and keep his teeth clean, as you would. Full of the most beautiful illustrations by Cassie Gregory, Timber can teach your children valuable life lessons too. And when you've read all about Timber's journey to become a guide dog, there are some beautiful pictures for you to colour. It's available from their website, which is timbersstory.com. So do check that out, timbersstory.com.
I'm checking your phone. Several people have tried to call you today and they can't get through.
Yeah, I don't know why. It was working when I tested it earlier.
It's because you've got a cloud phone, Paul.
No, but I tried it earlier. It was okay earlier.
Good job Lee's here, isn't it, Lee?
So, basically, though, we're at the end of the show.
Oh.
It just leaves me to tell you what we got coming up on channelradio.co.uk for the rest of today. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we have Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Arts Show, talking about culture and art in the county. At 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with the man with the stripy socks. And Craig has a celebrity show interviewing celebrities and music. At 7 o'clock, we have Mr. Joey Whaler with the Rockabilly show. At 9 o'clock, we have I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, a show focusing on the 1960s. And then, of course, as always, on a Tuesday, we finish off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down! cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, that's it for another week. We finish off, as always, at 10 o'clock with Mr. Boy George on the Club Culture Show. I'd like to say a huge thank you to this week's co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White, and our guest, the lovely Linda Garcia.
Thank you.
Mr. Lee Bennett. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week. In the interim, have a fabulous week, and we will see you all soon. Thanks. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.